versus Eddie H. Denning, Mr. Elmshauser. Mr. Elmshauser, good morning to you. You may approach the podium and you may proceed. Did I pronounce that name correctly?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Good afternoon, members of the court, counsel. This is a case that involved a jury trial where Mr. Denning was found guilty on a two-count information that alleging theft, class three felony, and abuse of a vulnerable adult, a class 3A felony. Mr. Denning is alleging that there was insufficient evidence to support the jury's finding of guilt and that his sentence was excessive. Even viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the state, there was insufficient evidence adduced at the trial to support a verdict of guilty on either count. In regards to the theft, Mr. Denning testified, as did numerous other witnesses, about essentially what happened while he was assisting Cora Bell Denning. There was no evidence presented by any witness that the defendant did not have permission to use the funds that were alleged to have been misappropriated. The only evidence presented to the jury regarding did Mr. Denning have permission or not came from the defendant. The witnesses for the state all said they were not present when transactions took place with Cora Bell Denning. They didn't know if she was present for ATM withdrawals. And there was no evidence to suggest that Mr. Denning did not have permission.
So essentially, your theory of the defense with respect to this count is that he had consent.
On this count, yes.
Is that right?
That is the theory.
And who has the burden of proof on that?
It's the state's burden to prove each and every element.
And who has a burden with respect to consent?
On the defense, I believe that is the defendant's obligation to provide the defense. But before he needs to provide the defense, there has to be some evidence that he did take this without her consent or
circumstantial evidence from which a fact finder could conclude beyond a reasonable doubt that it was a theft. Is that right?
Correct. The evidence can be direct or circumstantial.
Was the theory of defense that the exercise of the power of attorney was legitimate, or that his mother gave permission for the particular transactions, or was it a combination of those things?
As I recall the transcript state testimony from Mr. Denning was that his mother had given him permission. She said, that's going to be your money anyway. And so the theory that was presented to the jury was that he had approval and consent from Cora Bell Denning to use the funds as he saw fit. There was also the testimony in there about the commingling of funds with his account, and there was evidence that a check was written for Cora Bell Denning's hair appointment out of his account, because there was commingling is how Mr. Denning testified at the trial.
So,
counsel,
what are the elements?
Why would this be an issue of fact for the jury?
And it is an issue of fact. However, the defense is, or the appellant is, claiming that there was not any evidence, even viewing the testimony in the light most favorable to the state, that would support the finding of guilty on that count.
Counsel, on the unlawful taking charge, what are the elements? What are the elements of that crime?
May I go back to my briefcase?
Of course you may.
I apologize, I tend to spread things out, and when I saw this podium, I wanted to go as minimal as I could.
was there evidence at trial that the defendant transferred property from his mother?
I don't recall that. I believe they purchased a house in Big Springs for her to live so that she was closer to him, but there was her residence in Sydney was being rented out.
Was there any evidence that he transferred property with the intent to benefit himself?
I don't believe that was, and I don't recall that in the transcript.
So there were witnesses who referred to money in account one being withdrawn and then going into account number two, but by the time it got to account number two, money would be missing, say, short $500. There is testimony to that effect, correct?
There was.
Okay. And then there's other testimony that during this time frame, the defendant bought things like guns and electronics and so forth, the source of which was not clear. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So would those circumstantial facts be sufficient?
Well, the appellant is alleging that it's not.
What about the shed?
The shed?
The shed purchased and put on the appellant's.
There was, and there was some discussion about that when I believe Mr. Denning testified regarding it was Corabelle Denning's request to put that there, if I recall the transcript correctly.
And the money was from her account to do that?
I believe that's correct.
Counsel, was there a motion for directed verdict or motion to dismiss at the close of all evidence?
I don't believe there was one at the close of the evidence. There was at the close of the state's case, which was overruled. And as I recall the transcript, there was not another directed verdict made at the close of the defendant's case in chief.
But the defendant put on evidence after the state's case in chief.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not able to find the information with the...
That's fine, thank you.
I apologize. The other issue...
One of the elements of theft would be intent to deprive. Did the defendant make any statements that would tend to show that he had such an intent?
I don't believe he did.
So apparently the jury was inferring the intent from the circumstances surrounding the events?
Correct. The testimony from the accounting of the questionable transactions that were laid out, the witness said $32,000 some odd dollars, and that's what the jury found.
And who was that witness? Was that an expert witness?
No. It was the wife of the power of attorney.
Is that of any significance?
A lay witness can lay sufficient foundation, but it does go to the weight of their testimony. And then when you couple that with the relationship between the brother to Cora Denning, who then took over the power of attorney, I think that would be something that would...
What was the defense theory of the case?
The defense's theory of the case was, A, that Corabelle Denning was not a vulnerable adult, and that Mr. Denning had permission to use these funds as he saw fit.
In terms of the, what maybe we would describe as discrepancies, was there any sort of defense that he was just a poor bookkeeper?
He did state that he commingled funds, and there were times where her check would come in before his, or his would come in before hers. He would pay her bills, and when her money came in, he used that money for his bills. That was testimony that was in the transcript as well.
But the jury heard all of this and apparently concluded that they were satisfied of his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
That is what happened.
And you're not contending that circumstantial evidence can be sufficient to support a conviction?
A conviction can be gained on circumstantial evidence alone, but our theory of the defense is that there was insufficient circumstantial evidence to tie this all together. The other issue is the issue of the vulnerable adult, and it's clear from the testimony in the Bill of Exceptions that Corabelle Denning did not fit the definition of a vulnerable adult. The only testimony from a medical person was a physician's assistant who said that She met Cora Bell. She did determine that there was early stages of dementia, and she prescribed her some medication, but she also testified that Cora Bell was living on her own. She was taking her medications as prescribed. She was caring for herself, and she was doing a little bit of driving. That's the only evidence from any medical person that talks about a vulnerable adult. Vulnerable adult is also defined in the statute. I see that I'm out of time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Meyer, good morning to you. Excuse me, good afternoon to you.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. I am Joe Meyer, Assistant Attorney General, here on behalf of the appellee, State of Nebraska. The state submits that there was sufficient evidence to support Denning's convictions of exploitation of a vulnerable adult and theft. Also, the district court did not abuse its discretion in this case.
Was there evidence of the relationship of the adult to the daughter or with the daughter? What kind of relationship did the daughter have with Cora Bell?
I believe the evidence was that the daughter lived in Colorado, and the daughter was, I don't know if the correct term would be estranged, but the daughter was not as close.
So the daughter didn't participate in any of the care for Cora Bell?
No, that was mostly left to Mr. Denning.
Okay. So what evidence showed that Cora Bell did not give the defendant permission to use her money?
Multiple witnesses testified. I believe Cora Bell's brother, Marvin Remington, testified that the use of the debit card was not used before Mr. Denning became power of attorney. Its first use was after he gained power of attorney. There were debit card transactions made in parts of the Nebraska panhandle. Evidence was that the Cora Bell Denning would not have traveled to those areas. The evidence was she stuck mostly to Sydney when she lived in Sydney, and then she stuck mostly to Big Springs when she moved to Big Springs.
Why did she move to Big Springs?
The defendant asked her to move to Big Springs so that he and his girlfriend could check up on her. Her mental state was deteriorating, and I'm not sure if he lived in Big Springs or close to Big Springs, but he asked her to move to Big Springs.
Who would be the beneficiary of her assets? Did she have a will?
I didn't see any evidence of her estate or anything. And then the state submits the...
Sir, on the issue of consent, then, it's the state's position that she could not have consented due to her mental state. Is that what your position is?
I think more the state's position is that consent was an issue of fact for the jury. And as Justice Miller-Lerman was asking about, the burden of proof is on the defendant to prove consent. I don't believe lack of consent is an element that the state was required to prove. As I said, there was evidence that Cora Bell Denning would not have consented to this.
Was the defendant's position that she did consent. So what would be your position? I assume you have a counter position to that?
That was just an issue of fact for the jury to determine. Mr. Denning testified, and the jury believed his testimony was incredible. The court in sentencing said that his testimony was incredible, and it's not for this court to, on a sufficiency of the evidence argument, it's not for this court to rewrite the evidence or to judge Mr. Denning's testimony against the testimony of the state's witnesses.
Well, two things can exist at the same time, can't they? That Mr. Denning and his mother had a beneficial, pleasant relationship, but also Mr. Denning could have taken money from her.
Exactly.
Without permission.
And the power of attorney was admitted into evidence. I believe Exhibit 9, paragraph 9 of the power of attorney talks about his ability to withdraw funds, either to pay her bills or for her mutual benefit or to make investments.
Were her bills being paid?
Her bills were being paid up until probably the end of 2013. She was facing eviction from the assisted living center.
And that would have been Mr. Denning's responsibility to pay those bills for the living center?
Yes, he was the only power of attorney at this time.
Were there sufficient funds to pay the bills? Is there evidence of that?
Her bank statements were admitted into evidence. I'm not sure if there was. Mr. Denning also went to prison at some point in the end of 2013. So that
made unrelated charges.
Unrelated charge, yes. So, with the theft, there was, you know, evidence from testimony from Marvin Remington, the brother, testimony from James Fraker, Corbell's nephew. They went back after they gained power of attorney, and they went back and examined the bank statements. Eddie Denning was renting out Cora Bell's home in Sydney for $700 a month. That money seldomly, if ever, ended up in Cora Bell's bank account. The evidence was that it was more often going into Eddie Denning's bank account. The purchase of the shed, there was also evidence of checks being written, drawn on Cora Bell's account, deposited into Mr. Denning's account. And Paula Fraker, the nephew's wife, eventually, testified to the discrepancies and put a dollar amount of that at $32,000, which the jury accepted down to the
penny. Is there a difference, a distinction in our law between direct evidence and circumstantial evidence?
I'm not aware. Circumstantial evidence can support a conviction, yes.
The only evidence you have is that he took the money from his mother's account and spent some of it for himself, is that right?
Correct.
And who testified that the mother wouldn't give him permission to do that?
Most of that evidence came from Marvin Remington, her brother, that she was frugal, a spendthrift. I guess frugal, I think, was the witness's word, that she was very careful with her money.
Sent to withdrawing funds and using them by her son.
No. But again, that just goes to the weighing of the evidence that the jury did, and the jury...
So you're saying that the court didn't believe what the defendant said as far as his having consent from his mother to use this money.
Correct. The court or the jury did not believe his argument that he was had consent to use
her. Why would the court make a finding of credibility? Isn't that for the jury?
The court's finding was at the sentencing hearing.
What?
The court's finding was at the sentencing hearing, I believe, okay. to impose a sentence.
One of the assignments of error goes to the sentence and argues that the sentence is excessive. What's your best argument that the 5-to-5 sentence is not excessive?
Just Mr. Denning's criminal history. He has another. He's serving a domestic abuse and a terroristic threats charge. The district court said that his parents had worked very hard for that money, and he spent Cora Bell's money almost to the extent where she was homeless. So, and the court said that he believed Mr. Denning's testimony was not believable. Callous was the word the court used in the record. So. The sentence was well within statutory limits, and we don't believe there was an abuse of discretion.
The information charged this offense over a 3-year period?
Correct.
Was there evidence in the record to show what her financial situation was at the beginning of the 3-year period?
There was, and the jury was actually instructed, my brief focused on the information years, the jury was instructed for 2 years, 2012 to 2013. And the evidence admitted in covered that entire period that the jury was instructed. The evidence, I believe, went back to June 2011, which is when Cora Bell moved from Sydney to Big Springs, and that's where Paula Fraker testified that that's where she went back to, started. And I believe
so
the difference
I beg
in
your
the
pardon. So the jury was presented with two composite exhibits. Is that right? 7 and 8. That had dollar figures in them, is that right?
Yes. Two exhibits were for Cora Bell's accounts and two exhibits were for Eddie Denning's accounts.
Okay. Okay, and from that and other evidence, the jury, in your view, could find that $32,000, how shall I say, went missing or was not used for the benefit of Corbell?
Correct. And so on the exploitation of a vulnerable adult and whether Corbell was a vulnerable adult, she was, I'd like to highlight that she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in December of 2011. So,
who did that diagnosis?
I'm sorry?
Who did that diagnosis?
The physician's assistant, Lisa Reiger.
Can a physician's assistant testify as an expert? Or did you need expert testimony?
And the appellant suggests that she was the only person that testified as to her mental state, and that was incorrect, too. So if there was lay witness testimony from Marvin Remington, the brother, of her mind problems dating back to 2007, the brother, the nephew, and the nephew's wife testified of her problems taking medication back until 2009. There was also a lot of evidence from Mr. Denning's ex-girlfriend about she would forget the names of people that would come and visit her. She was.
Is that enough to qualify as a vulnerable adult?
Yes, because the statute allows for the evidence to be made either through observation, diagnosis, investigation, or evaluation. So the state would submit that the observation of her family members is more than enough. The state also submits the diagnosis was more than enough. And for all those reasons, the state asked that you affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, so that actually concludes oral arguments for the day. So what we will do now is